for the moment. I think that Dubai, for the way that it's built, for the basketball that they are showing right now, is the real candidate to go and create chaos and create madness into the play-in race. Hello again, EuroLeague family. Welcome to EuroLeague and Friends podcast. We all know that this is your favorite podcast, and we are here to entertain you and discuss what's going on in EuroLeague world. Let's go to Belgrade, Serbia, to Aleksandra Radivojević. Alex, are you ready for the Final Four? Do you think we're going to see any Serbian teams in the Final Four? You know,
oh God, Denise, your questions at the beginning of each episode are even tougher from episode to episode. So I don't know what to say, but I would love to speak about Serbian team, let's say in playoff at first, and then we are going to speak about the Final Four. But yes, things got changed a lot in Belgrade. So yeah, I'm happy to mention that.
All right. I mean, I'm so curious what you're going to say about this, but we have also another member of our family in Athens waiting for us in Greece, the host of 2026 Final Four in EuroLeague. So let's go and see what's Vasiliki doing. Vasiliki Karamuza, are you taking Nigel Ace Davis to any new coffee spots in Athens?
Well, unfortunately for Nigel, I'm not a vegetarian, so I don't have many food recommendations for him. But if he likes coffee as much as I do, I think I can give him some great spots to try.
All right. So, and we have another sister here waiting for us. So let's go to Julia Cicchine. I know that the Winter Olympics are happening over there. Julia, how are you arranging yourself? How do you program yourself between EuroLeague and the Olympics?
Well, Denise, you can see the difference between me, you and all the other girls, because, you know, as you mentioned, we have the Winter Olympics in here. So it's pretty cold in Milan, in Cortina, in wherever the Olympics are. And I'm dealing fine. I'm dealing good. You know, the schedule is so huge. Everything must be, you know, put in every frame of my schedule. But, you know, I think that I can do it. I hope so.
There's nothing that you cannot do, Julia. We all know that. So girls, let's go into our topics of today. So our first topic is, of course, MVP talk. And the second one is the guards rule. The third is playing madness. And the fourth is under and over achievers. The buzzer beater of Wade Baldwin and Nigel Hayes Davis is back. So you guys are ready to start with our first conversation, first topic?
We're always ready.
Yeah, always.
The MVP race. I mean, it's going crazy right now. What we're seeing from each teams and then each players. I had the guesses like last month. I was thinking, okay, Elijah Bryan, Sasha Vezenko. And now, I mean, Wade Baldwin. This is my MVP candidate.
It's much more names comparing to the first or second episode of our podcast at the beginning of the season. We spoke about it. We obviously mentioned Nan and Sasha Vezenko. But now I think we can also discuss some other names. I will mention one, and maybe it's going to be bold state, but never mind. We are here to make bold states. So I will mention Jordan Nwora. I don't know if any of us girls mentioned him before, maybe in terms how much he can help the team and himself in career, obviously, but not in terms of the MVP race. And I love how the MVP race is changing throughout the season in EuroLeague. Maybe it was not the case that much last season, but now we can speak about more names. I want to hear yours.
I have a guess that Julia would go with Nadir Hifi. Or punter. I don't know. That's just a feeling.
No. I think that your feeling is wrong. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to tell that. But, okay. You know me. I always, for me, Nan has always been my MVP. Even last year, I always mention him. But I think that I'm sorry for all the Panathinaikos fan and obviously for Kendrick Nan too. But I have to change. I have to, you know, say that I was wrong too, maybe, but I don't know. The season is still so long, but I'm gonna stay in Greece and I'm gonna mention Sasha Vezenkov. Last year, Until the end, the very end of the season, my name was still Kendrick Nunn, but I'm going to change the side of the city, you know. And for me, Sasha is really doing so good.
Let's not make Kendrick Nunn mad, because we all know what happens when he gets mad.
Can I say one thing, Vasiliki? Lucky to me, the Italian teams already faced Panathinaikos. So
yes. Okay. So I have to be very careful of what I say next, because currently my MVP candidate is also Sasha Vezenkov. And that's, of course, because he's leading the PIR race and he has Olympiacos very at the top of the standings right now, but also because Kendrick Nunn missed 6 games and that really hurt Panathinaikos. But he's definitely putting up MVP numbers whenever he's on the court. I don't know if those 6 games that he missed will cost him at the end of the season, but he still has plenty of time to resolidate his self as an MVP candidate as well. I'm sorry, but if it makes him mad, maybe we can say we give him a little bit of more extra motive, me and Julia. So I hope reverse psychology will work too.
I love hearing these from you. So I have Wade Baldwin, Alex has Jordan Wara, you have Sasha, and Julia has Sasha. But let's ask to our fans and audience, who is your MVP candidate of 2026 EuroLeague?
Since you mentioned guards taking over the EuroLeague, I would not say that they're taking over now. I don't know what you guys think about it. But yes, we have Nadir Hiffy, Kevin Punter, Kendrick Nunn, we already mentioned him, Baldwin, Jordan Avora. Guards rule the EuroLeague totally. And if we are going a little bit back throughout the EuroLeague's history, we also can find a lot of different names, usually superstars of the competition. So I'm not sure if this is happening now, but I think the modern EuroLeague history will totally be on those guys, you know. But I think Vasiliki has a kind of a different example in Greece, right?
Yeah, people are going to think that Sasha Vezenkov has bribed me to talk all good about him today. But it's not the case. I mean, him and Nikola Milutinov have been sensational for Olympiacos. They are leading the PIR race right now. It's an amazing duo. And it's really interesting to see that because, yes, we have seen EuroLeague being dominated by guards for so many years. And there was only a few exceptions like, you know, Edi Tavares. He's always been stable all those years that he's been in the EuroLeague, the past 7 seasons. But other than that, usually it's some of the guards, Mike James, it's Kendrick Nunn, it's Vasa Micic, it's Shane Larkin. You know, all these guys that were MVPs or that they attract the more attention from the media, from the players, from the coaches, because they thrive on the court. They have the ball in their hands and they can decide. So that's why they can be the protagonist. But this year, I mean, Olympiacos duo is changing a little bit the theory.
I agree with you, but the guards, as we call them, they're the organizer of the court. So the way that they read the game, the way that they want to organize the whole thing is because they want to dominate the set, the game, the plan of the coach, that what he's drawing for them. But at the same time, we call them as protagonists, but at the same time, those other 4 guys on the court, they have to make the finish. They have to end with the scoring part or the rebounding part or the assist part. So everything happens as a whole team plan and the whole team effort. That's why I think now Sasha Vezenkov, as you mentioned, Nikola Milutinov, they're shining on the court. And to me, I think it's the best part and the most beautiful thing of EuroLeague, because it's a team effort.
Totally.
So the play-in race, what are we going to see? What do you think? What are the expectations of the play-ins? Which team can join? And Julia?
Are you talking to me?
Of course I'm talking to you.
To my country?
Yes, I do.
Well, you know, I'm very patriotic. I don't know if it's the right word to say it. I really into Italy and into Italian basketball, but I have to stick to what I saw. And I have to say that I don't think that Virtus Bologna will get the play-in. But on the other hand, I think that maybe Milano has a little more chances to go. I said in the last episode that they would reach the final four. Maybe I'm still in time, to keep my prediction in. But for Virtus Bologna, I think that in the moment that they lost a game at home soil against Asvel, they, switched the mentality. They decided, to stay true to the Italian championship and, maybe give a little less effort to the EuroLeague. But I don't know, actually. But, when in a team there are a lot of injuries and something changing so much, you have players and you remove the players from the team and you never substitute them. It's hard, to go and to create something in a EuroLeague season that it's so long and so demanding. On the other hand, as I said, if Milano understands how it's built, if Milano understands how strong the single players are and how much they can play in the best way together, I think that they can do and they can create magic. But if we, just think about three teams, Virtus, Milano, and Dubai
Dubai.
for the moment, I think that Dubai, for the way that it's built, for the basketball that they are showing right now, it's the real candidate to go and create chaos and create madness into the play-in race, unfortunately for me and for Italy.
Totally. I mean, I'm listening to Julia and now I'm thinking about if some of the teams that she mentioned need to sneak in into the play-in or playoff zone, then some else teams, some of the else teams you need to drop. So I would love to ask Julia actually which team is going to drop down. So if you think that is going to be Zvezda, please tell me now. So just to discuss on
So we can
time.
stop being friends from
Well,
this
I have
day.
no, I don't think it's gonna be Zvezda. Well, I said that maybe Dubai between the three teams is the only one that could create something. But look at the standing right now. I don't think that neither Dubai can go up and can step up and, put in trouble all the teams that are in the position from 1 to 10. So for you, lucky for you and for all the Zvezda fan, I think that Zvezda will stay in the play-in competition because they're really good. They play so good. I saw them live. I really like the way that they're playing. And I think that from the position 1 to number 10, every team deserves the spot that they have. So I don't think that anyone will be dropped in
I know,
those
I think,
positions.
no, I don't agree with you. I think there's one team that I think that is going down in EuroLeague in the standings. And because of due
Oh.
to their performance, due to their, I don't know what's happening. I really don't know. I really don't understand. I'm trying to read the game, but something is not going well with that team, which is called Hapoel Tel Aviv. And I'm so curious what's going to happen. And this is my bold statement about it. And I don't think that they will make it to the Final Four.
Yeah,
They were.
boom.
Wow, because they were at the top of the standings for
Of
weeks.
course, of course. Yes, they
And
were.
now not even the play-ins.
Well, play-ins, yes, but I didn't say that. I said I don't think that they will make it to the final fours. Final
Okay,
four.
okay,
Okay.
okay,
Yeah.
okay.
Okay.
There are
This is my
also
statement.
a lot of other teams that is gonna have tough times. Obviously, after the cup, this part of the season is pretty unique in each season. So, Vasiliki, I want to hear you about Pana, about Žalgiris, about Monaco. What do you think?
Well, okay. Pana is definitely going through a crisis right now. Everybody can see it. They are losing games in the domestic league that they usually wouldn't lose. And they have tough times when they don't play against the teams that are on the top of the standings. Whenever they play the Feners, the Reals, the Hapoels, they put on a great show and they win usually most of these games. But when they play in the teams that are above the 10th position, the motive is not the same. And you can see it in the eyes of the players. They don't have the same drive, they don't have the same fire, they don't have the same passion. And that has cost them dearly. Also, the fact that Kendrick Nunn missed six games was very unfortunate for them because he is the main factor for their offensive system. But I think they won't be in danger. Even if they don't make it to the top four and have the playoff advantage, the home court advantage, they will be fine. I'm not sure I can say the same about Monaco. I don't know what's happening there. I mean, like, players not getting their money, being frustrated over social media, players being in and out. They have some injuries, a very short rotation. They only have 12 players, and now Kevarius Hayes is injured, and then Yoan Makundu will leave, so they will be with 10 players. Mm-hmm. How yep. can you make to a season that it's so brutal, and you play a game every 2 or 3 days between EuroLeague and the domestic leagues, and be okay with just 10 players? It's not sustainable.
I know it's not sustainable, and it's not really like a fine thing to go through. But look at last year's Fenerbahce. Many injured players. No, I'm giving you the really
They didn't have the same problems when it comes to stability, financial stability of the club.
Of course, but I mean, it is a club in Europe, so it's not something, it's not end of the world. Obviously, I agree with you. I'm not saying something against you, but it's about the character. If you're playing in this league, which is the best league in the world, you go until the end. You know, you want to. You played the final last year in Abu Dhabi in EuroLeague, so you cannot lose that just like this. This is what I think. It's an unfortunate situation for them. I'm wishing them the best. But of course, I want to see a very, very good Monaco because they have a character. Yes. What we've seen last year against Fenerbahce in the finals, it was a character of these group of players. So I want to see them again. I want to see how Mike James is playing on the court. I want to see Nemanja Nedović on the court. I want to see all these guys, that Jaren Blossom game. I want Monaco to be back with one of the biggest name of EuroLeague with Spanoulis.
Yes.
That's all I want to see. But let's go. The overachievers and the underachievers. When I mentioned Hapoel Tel Aviv, I want to mention also this. The way that I was watching Elijah Bryant from the beginning of the season, it's an overachiever. Am I right or wrong?
Totally true.
You're right. Totally true, yeah. But comparing to his last season or two, maybe we could expect something like that. I mean, I wouldn't be sure like 2 years ago, but I would say that he is going to be important for his team in EuroLeague, on EuroLeague level. And I really love to see him playing. And I saw that potential in him in FS also. Denise, you know better, obviously. But I can see him enjoying playing on this EuroLeague level. But since we are speaking about overachievers, I would love to mention Ebuka Izundu from Zvezda. I think nobody actually expected anything from him. We didn't even know so much about him. I was watching him a few seasons ago playing with FMP in ABA League, but we never watched him before in EuroLeague. This is his first season, and I think nobody actually knew anything about him. And now when I'm watching him, I can say that he's doing his best offensively, defensively, rebounding, helping his team, doing those jobs for the team, you know, that coach loves the most. And I think he has a bright future in EuroLeague.
I like it. I will go with another rookie that hasn't played in the EuroLeague before, even though sometimes we have to talk about the overachievers, that they're all completely changed from one season to another and they're doing amazing things. I can name one as well. The rookie I will go with is McKinley Wright. He was the MVP in the ABA League last year, but I don't think anyone expected him to be so dominant and so crucial for Dubai's season on a team that has names as Dwayne Bacon or Philip Petrushev or Kambegele, that you expect them to be the leading players of the team. Okay, Musa was out for a couple of months, and that, I think, helped his case a little bit. But I don't think anybody expected him to be this good on his first season in the EuroLeague.
I'm going to go with my name. And I think just one thing, that you have to be crucial. You have to be important, in my opinion, for the team you are representing. So my name, just saying all that, is Matt Morgan. I know it's his second season in EuroLeague, it's his second season in Virtus Bologna, but I think that, you know, last year or the season even before when he was in London, he was just somebody to have in the rotation. But right now, in particular in this season with, you know, Kasten Edwards, everyone even in Bologna, they thought that Carson Edwards would have been the MVP. Carson Edwards would have been the go-to guy. But when Carson Edwards were, you know, out because he was injured, Matt Morgan decided to take all the team in his shoulder, and he did a very pretty good job. So I think that, in my opinion, he's one of the best players that played this season for the thing that he has done and for the way he carried the team in some situation, not only in EuroLeague, but I'm seeing that even in our domestic league. So my name is totally Matt Morgan.
I want to add one more name from my side is Kai Jones. I think he's flying. Yes. He is just like, you know, one time I did an interview and I was calling Taylor Norton Tucker THT Airlines. I want to change that. It's the Jones Airlines right now. He's flying. I'm seeing whenever I'm in the game, I'm seeing always him on air getting assists. It was before it was Isaiah Cordinha, the assist by Isaiah Cordinha. But now all the teams are looking for his teammates are looking for him. Where is he? Okay. Oh, he's there. He's going to dunk again. So my name is go-to guy is Kai Jones. And then congratulations because he got the contract with the FS again and wishing him the best. And of course, I want to ask to all of our friends and families of EuroLeague and friends, the audience, who is the most go-to guy, as we can call it, is the overachiever guy right now? And who's the underachiever, since we haven't talked about the underachiever guy?
Denise mentioned Hapoel Tel Aviv, and I would love to mention the player, Vasilije Micić, obviously. Maybe I expected a little bit more from him, or maybe the hype was bigger than it should be at the beginning of the season. I don't know what you think, Bills.
I 100% I agree with you, Alex. I mean, I was expecting more from Vasilije Micić this season, which of course did not happen. And I want to give also one name from my country's team, which is Isaiah Cordinha. Okay, he was injured, but I was expecting more from him.
I think that I have the name, the biggest name.
Say it so I won't have to.
You know him, Marko Guduric.
Oh, okay. Oh. I thought you were going to say something else.
I don't know. Which name do you want me to say? But I think, whatever. Let me just answer that. I think that Marko Guduric arrived in Milan being the champion, arrived in Milan being someone that, you know, has to change the game. And I know that he's been injured. I know that something happened, obviously, with the Euros. But everyone, I think, expected him to be a little bit, you know, more sharp, in particular in some of the in some situations. So I think that he's my name, and you girls and even the people at home, you cannot say that I'm wrong.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
But you know, I always believe, and I still believe, that Guduric belongs to Fenerbahce.
Okay, take him.
Can we take him from Olimpia Milano?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about the contracts.
Can Turkey take Marko Guduric from Italy? Can we do that? Can we discuss that afterwards?
Okay, I can give you the number if you want from Milano team and all the people from Milan, because I'm just a journalist. I don't talk about contracts.
You know, Julia, but you know, we know we all want Marko Guduric. We can say yes and no to some specific players, and I think we would say yes to Marko Guduric.
So take back Marko Guduric, but give Milano back all.
No. I'm sorry. No. I can't change the last year's champion.
Amica mia, if we have to change the players, that's how the market works.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to give you Nicola Melli back. I'm not going to give you Devin Hall back. Give me Marko Guduric.
I don't think, Bella, it's not the thing that it works. I don't think that Nicola Melli wants to come back, but maybe Hall, maybe he wants. Milan is so beautiful city. Maybe he wants to come back.
Milan is a beautiful city, like Athens, like Serbia, Belgrade. There are so many beautiful cities, but sometimes players choose the heart where to go.
Well, Milano has a very big heart. Sorry, Vasiliki.
I cannot wait to see how this problem is going to be resolved. To be honest. I hope that you girls are going to arrange something.
I have an idea. Next episode, we will talk about imaginary trades. Yeah. We will make trades between EuroLeague players and EuroLeague teams.
Totally. Okay? Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Okay. I'm loving it.
So, Vasiliki, who is your underachiever?
Vasiliki, if you want.
I thought I was going to escape this one.
No, you're not going to.
Vasiliki, if you want, you can even take back Lorenzo Brown.
That's what I was going to say when you said Marko Guduric. I think Brown was also an underachiever. He didn't fit well in Panathinaikos, and we thought it was a problem. Like, you know, many people say Ataman already has Lucas and Nan and Grant, so the fourth guard, it's very difficult to be productive as well. We saw it with Vildosa.
TJ
we saw
Shores.
It. Yeah, so that's what's leading
Shorts.
Me.
TJ Shorts. TJ Shorts. But keep going.
Okay. That's what was leading me to my name, which is unfortunately TJ Shorts. But I will use a great example that Jerome Blossom did. I don't know if you saw it a couple of days ago. He did a Q&A on X. And someone asked him what's his opinion on TJ Shorts. And Blossom Game said it's a completely different situation when the whole system is built around you for you to thrive, like it was for TJ in Paris. And it's a very different scenario when you play in a team that has many superstars and you need to find little ways here and there to be productive and contribute to the winning ways. So I think TJ already knew when he was signing with Panathinaikos that there was no way that he would have the same usage as he had in Paris when he's playing alongside Kendrick Nunn and Kostas Lucas, and even Jerian Grant, which we don't mention often, but he's very crucial to Panathinaikos' success the past few years. So I don't know if it's a big surprise that he's not putting up the same numbers, but I think it's a similar case with Vasamisic. We expected more from him, and we haven't seen him so far. Maybe it's not totally his fault. Maybe it's a problem for the team to consider as well, because it's not only the player that's responsible. But I think everybody expected more from him.
All right. So, you know, there are sometimes these moments in basketball that the ball is on air and you look at the clock and then it's like 0-0-0-0. The whole atmosphere is frozen. And then you're just watching if that buzzer beater is going in. And then that is buzzer beater. And it was Wade Baldwin. Guys, I think buzzer beaters are the best thing that happens in basketball. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yes, right? You're right.
Totally. We needed a good music for this intro of you. I totally like
yes.
it. I totally like it.
0-0-0. There were no seconds. Like, the time was frozen. It was no time. But it made me feel like I was waiting for 5 minutes that, you know, shot goes in. And it was beautiful. It was amazing. So, Vasiliki, you also witnessed that. And I'm so glad. And I feel so lucky that I saw with my own eyes that shot.
Yeah.
So, congratulations again, Wade Baldwin. But, Alex.
Yeah, I really love when I see it on the court. I don't know how Vasiliki handled that moment, but it was really remarkable to watch. It doesn't really matter who do you cheer for. So we have to respect that. But yes, if we go back to throughout the history of the EuroLeague, we obviously need to mention one of the greatest of all time. If we speak about buzzer beaters, Printezis, right, Vasiliki?
Yes.
I think Duda Ivković once said about that shot from 2012, right?
Yes.
He said that shot of Printezis is always going to be a part of TV promo videos, like forever. Like, since we are watching EuroLeague until the very end of the competition, like, it's always going to be on each broadcast, like,
teardrop.
Yeah, doing the intro of something, it's always going to be there. So,
do you know, there's a special name for this parenthesis move. Do you know how
teardrop.
It's called?
Teardrop.
In Greek, it's called petachtari.
Like,
because you throw, petao, it's mean throwing.
Petao?
You're throwing the ball. So it's petachtari.
Petachtari.
Yes.
We call it in Turkish. Okay, we call it in göz yaşı damlası.
That's very difficult for me to say. I won't even
yeah,
try.
For me too.
I just want to say, do you think that it's better to score a buzzer beater when you are playing at home or when you are a guest? Because in my opinion, if I have to think about that and if I have to think about, a player, I think that scoring that kind of basketball, that kind of shot is obviously 100% better to do it in front of your home crowd rather than in front of so many people booing at you.
No, but at the same time, I think, Julia, no, I don't agree with you. You know why? Because imagine away opponent team coming there to the arena with that motivation that they're hearing that, you know, fans are booing you and you hear the tension and you feel it, you know, and you want to score and you want to win and you get this buzzer beater and you understand when the ball is on air, you understand from the fans, 15,000 or more than 15,000 fans are like, they know what's going to happen and you know what's going to happen and you can't, it's like a cinema.
I'm totally on your side. Yeah, I love the silence after the buzzer. Yeah, yes. Of the crowd after the buzzer beater like that. And yeah, I could actually imagine the music in my head when you spoke about it again. We really need it.
How, like, out of 10, rate Wade Baldwin's buzzer beater?
10.
11. Yes,
yeah,
I can give it the high score. I can't. It was against one of my teams, so I can raise it high. And be honest, it was a little bit of a lucky shot because it hit the glass. It didn't go straight in.
Oh my god! Wait! First of all, to all of us, I will buy this T-shirt from Fenerbahce, Beko, with the Wade Baldwin's. You know that T-shirt.
I saw that.
That T-shirt is like a Mona Lisa to me, for me and for all the basketball
great promotion.
Fans. For
That's
all
great
the basketball
promotion.
Fans. And second of all, it's not a luck. Then okay, luck is always around us. You know.
Yeah, we need luck too.
We create the luck.
That's true.
And then, it was the best buzzer beater in EuroLeague's history, my opinion. Yes, it is. Yes, do you agree with me? I'm asking to all of our fans. Do you think Wade Baldwin's buzzer beater is the best buzzer beater in EuroLeague's history?
Please, you, Denise,
please write.
Should vote for another buzzer beater. I thought you would say Vasa Misic.
Vasa Misic is okay. Okay, it's. Okay, but you know
that won the EuroLeague. That shot won the EuroLeague, and it was again.
Okay, but it's going to be always
one of my teams.
Okay, I know, but it's going to be always my favorite one. That is another level. That's, you know, above the earth. It's above the. It's in the space. You know, it's somewhere like not. But that buzzer beater in the regular season. We're talking about the regular season, not the playoffs or Final Four. So.
Oh, okay. So we have two categories of the buzzer beaters. So yeah, we're gonna choose between the regular season and the playoffs and maybe the Final Four or winning the title, you know. So yeah, we have to make it clear for the next episode.
And,
but this is going to be an endless discussion.
And since me and Vasiliki, we get this tension between us, I want to go to our next topic. Vasiliki, congratulations on your new signing, Nigel Hayes-Davis.
I had nothing to do with that.
I mean, to all the Greek fans, the Greek basketball community, because last year's Final Four MVP, such an unbelievable guy, the personality, he's one of the kind, he's such a unique person, and then obviously Panathinaikos really needed him, and congratulations to Pau for the new signing.
Well, yes, I think it was big news for Panathinaikos and all over Europe because Nigel was between the Greens and Hapoel and Fener. So there was a discussion going on in one of the biggest markets in the EuroLeague. So many people were involved and it took some days for it to be finalized. So everybody was saying, where is he going to go? Is he going to come back to Fener and play with Saras? Is he going back to play with Itoudis at a new club in the EuroLeague? Is he going to play for Pana and help them save their season?
You think he can save your season?
I have to be honest. If Matthias Lasor is coming back too, as it is expected after the Greek Cup, as Ergin Ataman said, I think that Pana is making a very strong case because, you know, Lesor had been a very substantial part for Panathinaikos when they won the EuroLeague 2 years ago. And it hurt them deeply when he got injured last December of 2024. So with him being out for so many months, I think that was the biggest issue. They couldn't find an equal good big, which is pretty tough. Actually, to find. But I think Nigel can contribute as well a lot because we've seen Juancho Nagomed being too tired. He played 37 minutes against Fener. And it's not the first time he plays over 30.
But to be honest, I don't think that he's gonna cut Hernan Gomez minutes. He's gonna cut JD's minutes. He's gonna take him to the three, and then Hernan Gomez will be on four, or maybe Hernan Gomez will play five. But you know, it's not gonna cut Hernan Gomez minutes, in my opinion.
I think Nigel's gonna play both three and four. And maybe there will be some different lineups with Juancho playing the five and Osman being at the four or something like that. But I think
Your five was coming back.
Yes, not from the first minute he can come and play 30 minutes. Like, he has been out for 15 months.
You can never guess Aguinaldo Thomas' system.
Yes, for sure. But I think Matias will need to take it a bit slower at first. But when the playoffs come, if Matias is healthy, Pana and Nigel is back to his form after his NBA stint, I think Pana is going to be a very dangerous team for everybody.
Well, if you have some players in advance, Italian team can take them.
No. Like Juancho, for instance.
For example.
No, we're not giving Juancho to Wainwright. I'm sorry. It's a non-negotiable.
Why? I think he would be a good fit in Olimpia Milano.
Me too.
Bologna.
He could be a good fit everywhere, but he's not going anywhere. I'm sorry.
Speaking about Nigel Hayes-Davies, I am looking forward to see him back in the EuroLeague for sure. And I'm looking forward to see his travel vlogs also all around the Europe. Yeah.
In vegan restaurants.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see him playing for a different kind of coach, maybe the first time in his career. But yeah, playing for Saras, you know, it's a bit different comparing to playing for Ergin Ataman. So I'm not sure if he's going to save the season, if we can say so for Pana. I mean, nothing is lost yet. So we are speaking about Pana, like they're not going to make it to the final four, but they're still there, you know. But yeah, things are going to change. And to be honest, I cannot wait to see also Matias Lessor coming back to the court. We know how he can be passionate about the game, you know, how he can change the momentum during the game. And he has a huge impact on teammates. So yeah, I think things are going to be very, very different for Pana at the rest of the season, especially after the cup. And I think those games can also be very meaningful for the team and for new tries that Ergin Ataman is now have in his hands.
Denise,
I have
a question for you.
I knew it. Tell me. But
you know both Nigel and Coach Ataman. How do you think these two are going to work together?
That's, you know what, Vasiliki, you're right. That's what I was about to say. I have two things to say about Nigel Hayes-Davies conversation, since it was happening for a week, since it was, I think, Thursday morning. Fans were messaging me. I was talking with the players of Fenerbahce to my friends in the community. So two things I think fans and audience should know. One is it's going to be very important how the fit will be with Nigel Hayes-Davies in one hand and Kendrick Nunn in one hand. And Ataman is, I think, one of the best coaches in the league that can, you know, arrange the balance, those two players' personality. And Tsoukas, Nunn, Nigel Hayes-Davies, these names are the biggest name, one of three of the biggest names in EuroLeague. And the reason why I think Ataman and the president of Panathinaikos wanted Nigel, because they already know and they already predicted that they can balance the, you know, I don't want to call it ego. I want to mention the word of ego in a good way. The ego Stardom. Of Nunn. The star's ego. Yeah, I think we can call it like that in the best way that it can be. And I think it's going to be a good fit for Panathinaikos. And the second and the most important thing that I want to mention for all the fans out there, Fenerbahce Beko has no problems not signing Nigel Hayes-Davies.
Fenerbahce Beko, they have a great roster.
Fenerbahce Beko is a complete team. They're the last year's champions. They have the system already is in their system, which is called Yasikevicius system, that I was mentioning since last year. They have a balance. The most important thing, I think, in a team to have is a balance. And we see in Fenerbahce Beko, the players know their minutes. The players know their rules. So they know how to be adapted in the system. And Fenerbahce Beko didn't want, in my opinion, I don't know anything, but from what I see, they didn't really, 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 really want Nigel Hayes-Davis back. If Nigel Hayes-Davis wanted to be back, he could have been. That's all.
That reminded me of a song. So tell me what I want, what I really, really want.
Tell me what I really, really want. Yeah. And Fenerbahce, and the last thing, Fenerbahce Beko players, coach, all the staff, all the crew, they wished Nigel the best luck in his new team, because friendship matters the most. The fair play matters the most in the league. So, I mean, everything is good. Everything is cool in Istanbul and Turkey. It's shining over here. The sun is shining. Standings matter right now. Let's go.
We have some viral videos.
Let's go and check our first video. we were talking about Misic, but it was a tough moment for Misic.
Julia,
I think in real life with the words, you are Montero and I'm Misic. You know, when you move with the ball and the ankle breaker happens to me. So
I can do it.
I know you can do it.
I think that I can fit in. Yes.
You can fit in. How do you rate that move?
I really like it. You have to be so technically prepared to do the dribbles. It's not that easy. I know that we're talking about the highest level that we have in basketball IQ and in basketball in EuroLeague, but it's not that easy to do it with that high speed. So it's something for, obviously, the offense part of Montero. It's not so easy to do it. And it's not so easy even for the defender to stay there. So it's something really cool, really cool to see it in particular into a game. So I really liked it. I can rate it 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I think that's one of the play of the season.
For sure.
The next viral video, I think the people are going to recognize the mentality of something that you actually, Denise, mentioned when we spoke about doing the buzzer beater on away court or things like those. And since we are about to learn new languages and new words on other languages in this episode, I'm going to mention one Serbian word that actually describes this the best. And it's called inat. It's when someone is doubting that you can do something, then you achieve it, you know?
Oh, we have the same word. In Turkish, it's called inat. Inat.
Yeah. Yes. It's a different accent, but we actually took it from you. So, yeah. It's something that we saw on maybe a kind of a different level of EuroLeague basketball, but I think we are going to see it on the best possible EuroLeague level basketball. It's Vuk Danilovic. Obviously, he actually has something from his father, and I think Inat is part of that. Not only skills, not only passion for the game, not only talent, but also, you know, the mentality, the something in his head. And I cannot wait to see him on a bigger scene, if I can say like that. We watched him on Next Gen tournament, and Next Gen tournament is, for me, it's like a gold of the EuroLeague, you know? I always enjoy those qualifiers, and then during the Final Four, we have also the finals for those kids, and I really love to see those young kids playing on a different level with a different approach comparing to what they used to play during the whole season in their national competitions, you know? So, yeah, Vuk Danilovic is someone who is on spotlight here in Serbia, but I cannot wait the whole Europe to meet him.
And we will be able to see the Next Gen final in this year's Final Four, because there's no third place game. So we will see the young talents of EuroLeague taking the central stage, which will be amazing for them as well. And for us to find out new guys to be obsessed about. But once again, in this episode, I'm talking about another guy. I'm talking about Sasa Bezenko. I don't know what's going on today. I don't know.
Really. A young star, you know, a rookie.
He's not a rookie, but he made his first poster dunk in his EuroLeague career. He dunked over Ibuka Izundu, as Alex mentioned before, as one of the rising stars of this season's EuroLeague, the overachievers. It's not the first time that he dunked this season. He did it in front of Dinos Mitoglou in the Greek derby against Panathinaikos on January 2nd. That was his second dunk of the season. But this time, he really posterized Izundu, so I think he's gonna remember that for a long time.
I agree with you. And I think Sasha is creating, and he will be creating, more moments like this in the league. Because if you would ask me who's your second MVP candidate after your prediction goes with Boyd Baldwin, I would definitely name Sasha Vezenko. He's a golden boy of EuroLeague. And no one is going to change this. Not even one person. He's going to be always Sasha Vezenko. And he's going to put up with more and more moves in the court. But since there's a new guy in EuroLeague, I mean, he's not new anymore. But I want to say that he recently, you know, came and then joined the EuroLeague. THT. With this meme. The tank, the bulldozer.
I loved it.
And you know, he posed with that. I think he really likes it.
Can I say something for the Serbians? Because I really love them, you know. And
I cannot wait.
I love you too. But how about Novak? Novak is always
again.
There.
Again.
Yes. Novak. Yeah. And, you know, I think that the obviously in that game, he wasn't the only VIP. In the crowd, because it was Pero Antic too.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
You know, it was cool to see, obviously, Novak back. He had the chance to, you know, speak with Chimo Moneke. And it's always cool, I think, to have conversation with those guys. And I'm talking about Novak, obviously, because they're a great champion. We saw Novak even in here in the Winter Olympics, and all the players, all the athletes were, you know, getting mad for that. Because obviously, seeing a star like he and just looking at you, looking at what you're doing, looking at your job is unbelievable. Someone like Novak is interested in what I'm doing. And, you know, I think it was pretty cool, and it obviously is pretty cool to have him at the arenas. So, Novak, if you're listening to us and if you're listening to me, please come and join for the Final Four.
Can I tell you a short story that involves Novak Djokovic's appearance into Olympiacos Red Star game that is gonna totally shock you?
Yeah, I think it's connected to the soccer, right?
Yes, Alex already knows. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, in AEK Football Club, there's a Serbian coach. His name is Marko Nikolic. And he had a Serbian assistant named Aleksandar Ragic. Aleksandar Ragic accompanied Novak Djokovic in that game, and they sat courtside. And AEK people didn't know that. And Marko Nikolic was so mad that he didn't ask permission to attend an Olympiacos game, even though a Serbian team was also playing in that game. And I think that probably was the reason he went to that game. And they fired him from the team.
Yeah, but it's also important to know that Marko Nikolic is an ex-coach of Partizan. Football, Partizan, yeah. So, yeah, maybe it's connected to that. But we still don't know what actually happened there. So, yeah. But
Do you imagine being fired because you went to a basketball game?
In Serbia, yeah.
I mean, I was shocked. That was crazy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's a crazy story, really. It's a crazy story. But since we spoke about Novak, I'm always like, oh my God, I had a busy week or busy month, or I need to move out from one apartment to another, or and to reschedule the recording with EuroLeague, or to do this, to do that. And then I see Novak. Like, he was playing yesterday, he was on the court, then he traveled to Winter Olympics, then he traveled to Athens, then he's a little bit in Belgrade, and then he's there, you know. So, yeah, I always see him, and I was like, okay, if Novak can do it, then we all can do it. But I really am really looking forward to see you guys, actually, on Final Four. And then we can see the rest of the people, important people of the EuroLeague basketball, and also from different sports. And I am really looking forward to see Novak in Athens.
I think it's now end of our show. As I mentioned, don't forget to like, subscribe, turn on notifications, watch our shows, the MEP podcast, EuroLeague and Friends podcast, the interviews, the viral moments on our social medias. Thank you, girls. Sending you many kisses. Bye-bye. Many love. Bye.
Ciao.
Ciao.